I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. In our lifetime, some of us may remember the Battle of Britain, but most of us remember more as adults 9/11 and what was happening and what's happened before and since. And we celebrate 9/11 today. Think for a minute where you were on that day. I remember going to work in the prison. It was my day to be at Ferndale, the minimum security penitentiary at Mission. And I woke up early in the morning and happened to make my coffee and turn on the news to see what was happening. To there before my eyes in live television, seeing a plane crash into the tower, tower number 2, and seeing the other tower on flame, in flame. Smoke, death, destruction. And then, of course, the events of the day unfolded, as we all know. And I thought to myself as that day went along, and I went to the prison, it was my responsibility, and everybody was caught up in it, staff and inmates alike. And I remember being so horrified by what had happened and needing to go for a walk, and we had installed there a labyrinth. And so I went and walked the labyrinth and prayed and thought to myself, it's going to take years, if ever, to restore the sense of hope and security in North America. For this is the first time that, in reality, in a big way, that Fortress America had been breached. And I thought, wow, how are people going to respond? And how should we be responding as Christian people? And I actually went and looked up the reading that we read today, though that was accidental. It just happened, from Jeremiah the prophet, and thought about what is happening and all the sense of rupture and anger and sense of destruction. And my mind went forward to how am I called to respond in the midst of this sadness as a Christian. And I remember thinking at that moment that we follow a God of reconciliation. We follow a God who wants inclusion and a God who calls us to love, not hate. And that this action that was taken was an action of hate and desperation, and not from clear-thinking people, but people who were themselves desperate and warped by anger and pain, which they had received in other places. And I thought to myself, and I still do, that we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to fall into the same trap that the people who perpetrated 9/11, that if we fall into that trap, we somehow have abandoned our own faith as Christians. That no matter what, we must stand firm on the ethics that Jesus Christ taught us, was tried for because it was against the Roman way, and was crucified. Received capital punishment. And what are those values? Well, we think back to the second reading today from Paul's letter to Timothy. Timothy was a new disciple and later became probably Paul's closest disciple because he became his scribe. And here he is writing to Timothy at the beginning of Timothy's walk with Jesus, saying, look, I was a bad guy. I'm a miserable sinner and I've done wrong. But through the grace of Jesus Christ, I have got new life. I have been redeemed. And Timothy must have heard about what was going on with Paul and what Paul had done. Paul was not your Sunday school choir boy. Paul, before he became to know Jesus Christ, had actually engineered the death of a very prominent Christian, Stephen. You've heard of St. Stephen's Day, St. Swithin's? Well, Stephen was, his death was engineered by Paul. In those days, he was known as Saul. He got a name change and turned his life around. But nevertheless, he was a bad guy. He engineered the stoning death of Stephen. And you can imagine that fledgling Christian community saying, that's that guy over there, and you want to follow him, and you want to listen to his teaching about Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to embrace him and invite him into our home and have coffee with him? Are you out of your mind? He's ugly. We don't want him. We got to shun him for our safety. He's the bad guy. But Paul persisted. And today, the church that we are worshiping in and the tradition that we are in is what's known as the Pauline tradition of the church. We are Pauline Christians. So we actually are following in the teaching cycle of a guy who at one time was a persecutor of Jesus Christ and Jesus' followers. We often don't think that when we think about Paul, but it's true. The church has always been a group that, despite being wounded, found a way to forgive, found a way to carry on, to reconcile, and to include. And that's the message of today. We cannot allow ourselves to be taken over by hate, by fear, by division, by exclusion, by ignorance, by stupidity. Jeremiah was warning the people back then as they faced the later destruction of their own kingdom as a prophet. Paul was a symbol of the reconciliation of that early fledgling church. And Jesus, in his parables that we heard in Luke today, is talking about bringing in the lost into the whole, both in human terms and animalistic terms, if you like, looking after the spirit that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, brings everybody home. And in our material, the least count as much as the most. That's the parable of the coin. So what do we do on this anniversary of 9/11? Because it affected Canada as well as the United States, but maybe not quite as closely. We have to resist the forces that want to divide. We have to resist the forces and ideas that say, we are good, that's bad. But try to think bigger, that God loves all of God's creation, and that there's evil within us as human beings, and we are all capable of being divisive and hurtful. But our primary ethic as Christians are, we are called to be one. Not just the people who we like, but we need to work to understand those who we are somewhat fearful of, and remember God calls us to love. Not to be stupid, but to love. To be always open to reconciliation. To be the people of hope. Think for a minute of things we have done, because we're, none of us are spring chickens. Think for a minute some of the things we may have done in our lifetime which we'd be divisive and other people are angry at us about. If it was all about anger, if it was all about hate, all of us who are wounded would be hopeless. But it's not. It's about love and forgiveness and reconciliation. We here in this community, we come from many backgrounds, but we are called to be together as one. My Latin is not perfect, but I think the phrase is ex pluribus est uno, something like that. For many are one. Now, we have Italian speakers here who are probably more able to do it than I could. But for many are one, and in Jesus we are one. We are loved and we're brought together. In God we are called to be one. If the planet is going to be saved from global warming and climate change destruction, we are called to be one all across the globe. Whether we be whatever racial background, whatever linguistic background, whatever religious background, there is only one planet. And what's going on affects all. So today, on this anniversary of 9/11, which is sad and we grieve that it happened, I also invite us to have a new vision. A vision of unity, a vision of inclusion, not exclusion, a vision of forgiveness and reconciliation and openness, not hatred, not being afraid, not being running into little rabbit holes. We are called to be one. And as we receive the sacrament this morning, we remember that Jesus died for all. Those who recognize Jesus and those who are on the path to recognizing Jesus. And that we pray that all will get there. For God loves all of God's creation. And may we go from here out into the world with a message of hope, love, reconciliation. Recognizing fear is a normal response inside of us. But we cannot let fear overwhelm who we are as members of the body of Christ. May God bless us all. Amen.